Okay, welcome everybody to Composers Roundtable episode 11. My name is Sam. I'm here with Simeon Amerghi, and we also have a special guest, Mattia Chiappa from Italy, who now lives in London. We are very honored to have him here. I recently found out about his YouTube channel, and I'm just blown away by his mock-ups and his skill. And we thought it would be great to see what he's doing and how he came up with all this and why he's a composer and all that. So a big welcome to Simeon and Mattia.
Hey guys, oh, how's it going?
We'll start with Simeon and then we'll take Mattia later.
Well, it's good. It's good. Can you believe this is like the 11th episode? Where is the time gone? We have just, Sam, you had this vision of doing this roundtable, and I think it's just been a fascinating journey. And with Matt with us today, I'm going to call you Matt. Really appreciate you being here. It's about the community of musicians and the worldwide community now with all the technology available. That's what really excites me. So welcome, and we can't wait to just dive in and have some fun today.
Oh, thank you for having me, guys.
No problem. It's really nice. I'm very happy that you answered. So for those who do not know you, who are you? What do you do? What do you, anything you want to say about yourself?
So I'm a person. I've been a person musician. I've been a musician pretty much all my life. I started to play guitar when I was around 10. I think 14 years of age, and I was lucky enough to win a scholarship for a guitar performance course that, moved me from Italy to London, and I've basically been here trying to make it as a musician since the past 9 years or so.
Yeah, that's true. You're a guitarist. Maybe not a lot of people know that's your first instrument. You can see the guitarist in the background there, but...
Yeah, lots of guitars, yeah. And a few are missing, actually.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not many people know that because I think, most composers tend to be pianists or keyboard players. But yeah, that's my first instrument, guitar and bass.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. That's excellent. Well, that's good. But you know piano as well, I assume, because you work with DOS.
Yes. I taught myself to play when I wanted to learn a little bit about composition. So I was learning composition and piano both at the same time, because obviously it's a way more practical way to see music. It's a much more visual kind of instrument, while guitar tends to be more shape driven, So that was a must for me. And yeah, as soon as I got a keyboard, got a bunch of scores and started to learn on my own, and that's it. Kind of start to try implement guitar a little bit as well, but there isn't always a place for that, particularly in orchestral kind of music.
But I always envy guitarists. My father was one, and so I grew up with guitar music and I really love it. I totally agree with you that you have everything on the piano, and what you just said, it's totally true, but there's something about voicing in guitar.
Yeah.
That I wish I had more of that understanding. I sometimes try to, with a guitar library, just try to figure out how you think as a guitarist. And I think it's very useful for voicing in general.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very specific, because you tend to learn, it's a very different type, of instrument, because on piano, you kind of have to know your stuff, your scales and your chords and your theory in a way. But with guitar, you can get away with, a lot of just kind of, using the very same shape in different parts of the neck. And that's why many guitarists tend to be, tend to not know a lot about, music theory and all that, because of the way the instrument is designed, I think. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to get an in-depth knowledge of the instrument, I think, because it's not very easy to see things on guitar.
Yes,
well, I like what you said about shapes, that that guitar is more shape oriented, and keyboard seems to be like linear in a way. That's really interesting. So when you're looking at tablature, you're looking at the shapes. I've never thought about it that way, but that's so true. And that's why it's kind of hard for a keyboardist to adapt to those different shapes and voicings. There's nothing worse than a keyboard player, you know, doing the guitar the wrong way. You know, it's just And that's why I've always wanted to try to learn some basic guitars, just to wrap your head around that. And that's very wonderful that you've got both of those techniques, you know, that you can pull that out of your toolbox.
Yeah, it kind of confused me a little bit, to be honest, because now when I pick up the guitar, I kind of it frustrates me not to be able to see things the same way I see on the piano. But then again, I'm not a pianist, so that frustrates me as well, because I cannot play with the same level of facility that I have on guitar.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yes.
For me, it's the limitation. I was taught by guitarists that when I learned jazz chords many years ago, to just play the third and seventh, because that's apparently something he does on the guitar. And just think of the... And so it's a limitation. Just try to build... you know, chords or structures out of that. And I thought it was really, really useful, because otherwise, you know, your piano, you can just lay on top of it and play as many notes as you want, which can be too much. You know, it's good to have limitations.
Yeah. Plus, I don't know, like everything sounds beautiful on piano. You can play those big chords and the melody on top. And
true, but I think a triad can always be, I mean, I find it easier to make a triad shine on a guitar than on a piano. If you just play like in the first position or root position, I mean, on the piano, it tends, you know, but on guitar, it's like, I don't know, maybe that's what you're used to, I guess. But it does seem like guitarists, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a lot about shaping the sound. Because, you know, there's so many different attacks and where you play the string and how you put the finger down, and then you can go into the whole effects and as well. There's sort of more landscaped sound design. What do you think about that?
Sorry, I think I lost the first part of the question.
I lost you there for a second. Yeah, so it seems to me that guitar is more about tone shaping. There's so many things you can do: nail, thumb, finger, where you put the hand, where you put the finger down, how you hit, and there's so much you can do, and you can even get into effects if you're electrical. So what do you think of that? Is that true?
I'm a very simple kind of guy. I'm a plug and play kind of guy. I don't like to mess around too much with effects and you know, but definitely, you know, everybody's tone is different. I don't know why that is. Probably just the way, just even, you know, the fact that you can do vibrato, which is something that you can do on the piano, makes you have a very particular kind of sound compared to other people. But yeah, or even, you know, just simply the tone that you can get from the amp or simple stuff like that. I think there's much more choice in a way, because you can get many different types of guitar, many different types of amps, and then you can tweak the sounds and make them sound you know, just the way you want them. And plus you have your own kind of phrasing and playing that defines you as a player.
So you said you tend to compose mostly on the piano, or you use the guitar as well?
No, I compose strictly on the piano. I've been trying to compose on the guitar, but I just can't see things the same way.
And is it different genres when you play the guitar? Is that not orchestra? Well, it isn't, I guess, orchestra music on guitar, but it's not classical, or what do you do?
I mean, mostly I've been a session guitarist, you know, for the past few years, and it's mostly just, you know, playing in function bands and pop rock music, things that are popular in the UK, you know, Beatles and all that.
Who are they? Is that a new group?
Yeah, exactly. All right. So yeah. How did you actually? So you talked a little bit about your instruments and all that, but how do you get into music, and how did you get into composition eventually? What inspired you to do that?
It was a weird kind of experience. I don't know. Like one night, I was just messing on YouTube, just. I was bored, and I found this video of an orchestral rendition of a part of the Final Fantasy X soundtrack, and I don't know, I was just amazed by it, And the day after, just bought a keyboard, a bunch of scores, and that was my calling, I guess. Mm. You know, that was I knew instantly that was what I wanted to do.
It awakens something inside of you.
Yes. Yes.
So you're talking the very next day you go and get a keyboard and scores.
Exactly. Yes.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's what happens to us. We there is something that's latent inside of us, in all of us, and all it takes. And we talked about this on another episode about the spark. We have the tinder, the wood here, or the potential is there, and all it takes is that moment that just lights it up. And once it's lit, then like what you were saying, you have to do something with it now. And that's really cool. I mean, you went right out and boom, there you go. You're on your way.
Yeah, that's
exciting.
What the strange thing I think is not that I never heard orchestral music before. It was it was that specific piece of music, that specific arrangement, that
kind of
resonates with me.
By the way, Mattia, don't you have a song on your page that is that inspiration? I felt like, because I was listening through your songs, I'm like, where have I heard this? Isn't that the song, which one was it? Was it Closure, Ease of Mind? You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, I've been inspired by John Williams. I've been, people like to call me out on that as well. But yeah, no, I'm not necessarily inspired by that specific piece, you know, that specific event. But that was just, you know,
lost them again. I'll come back soon.
My break into the orchestral world, I guess.
Yeah, no, I hear it. No, I just listened through your songs there, and I really recommend anyone to do that. We have the links below here. It was one of the songs. I could be wrong.
What was it? Do you have that on your channel, Mattia?
Just like
one of your first songs.
Otherwise, you can go to mattiachiappa.com, and there you have all the songs there. It's easiest.
Okay, so you've got that on your website too.
Yeah, you should scroll down further down there.
Okay.
No, I forgot which one it was. It reminded me of one of the Final Fantasy, but maybe I just heard
probably
wrong.
That could be. It was, I think the piece you're referring to is some kind of ballad, some kind of slow, you know.
I think it was the one called Closure, maybe.
Yeah, Closure. Yes.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. So
thank you.
Yeah. No, I once, very crazy, I had to write a musical for a guy, and he wanted to be based on video game music. And so I was listening a lot to those games, and I actually haven't played those Final Fantasy, but I sort of got stuck in my mind. So
yeah, that's a weird part. Me neither. I never played that game.
It's true. I don't know if you guys are gamers. I don't have time for it. I like games, but I don't have time for it. But there are certain games I have tried just because of the music, or I just listen to the music instead, basically. I was thinking, which one could it be that I really like? And I can't remember at the moment, but I'll keep thinking about it and it will come up. Because I don't know if you have that sort of damage, as I call it. I can't watch a movie anymore with my wife or anything. Oh, did you hear that thing in the music? Or, oh, that comes from changes there. That's from, they stole that. It's just.
And then you run it back a few times, I do hear that. And then once you hear it, you can't unhear it, you know. But it's just, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I definitely go to the theater just because I want to hear the music, you know, from big speakers and
yeah. And John Williams, them, say what you like about them, but he's saved all the movies he's made. Basically, it doesn't matter if they're good or bad. They're good now because he's in, and it's great to study him.
You want to listen to just a small clip of Closure?
Yeah, listen to that.
Yeah. So this is Mattia's website. MattiaChiappa.com, and let's just take a listen to a little bit of Closure.
that's nice. That half step there. So we do want to say we're listening over Skype. So we all recommend to go to Matthias' website or YouTube and check him out so you get the full experience. Yes. But this is so lush. Actually, that wasn't the song I was referring to, but it doesn't matter. I really like this one. I think he has a video out there where you are comparing different libraries. And it's just really, really beautiful. Very lush. I believe this could be a real deal.
Yeah, that's just the richness. So, what libraries were you using for that? I guess you're a fan of the BBCSO.
So Spitfire. I made that piece specifically as a demo for the BBC Symphony Orchestra plugin by Spitfire. And I had a plan at the time to be the first, to release a demo. Of exposure, so I kind of created a piece before in Sibelius, and then as soon as the library came out, I just went straight into it.
Okay, so you wrote it on paper, not really, but
So you kind of scored it out in Sibelius and then transferred it into
so that I could be quick enough to be the first to release a demo.
Hey, I see Chris, our friend Christopher Siu is in the chat, and he was also commenting on that beautiful chord change that we all went, So it just makes you, So, hey, Chris, good to see you.
Yeah, if I know Christopher right, he will love this music for sure.
Oh, yeah.
He's into this stuff. What is I wanted to say? Yeah, I know there's this big debate I've heard of it at least, that what is the best library and all that. And I say, well, you have to master your library. That is really what makes you sound good. But would you say in your experience that there are libraries that are better suited for this kind of music or easier to write with what do you say?
I mean, I don't think you need like expensive libraries or anything like that to create music. Obviously, it's going to help a little bit, but at the very same time, it could be tricky because as you said, you have to learn the library before you are eventually going to be able to use it. For this, romantic type of writing, I think this tends to be the things that libraries do the best.
Mm.
Particularly, maybe a library like BBC that is being recorded in a big, lush kind of space might work better than than like a studio orchestra kind of thing, but that's not necessarily true. It all comes down to how well you can use it and how well you know it, because every library has weaknesses and strengths, and obviously knowing them is going to make your music sound better. But it can take time, It certainly took me time to be able to kind of know the library.
Mm.
And the more you use it, just eventually you get there. But that's one of the things that people, based on what I see from my students, that's one of the thing that people tend to do is just they blame it on the library, and they move on to something else before they even know what they have.
Yeah. That is so true.
Frustration. It's a big frustration in getting a library and trying to make it do something that it was never designed to do. Mm-hmm. And like what you said, that a lot of people just give up right before they are on the verge of discovering the strengths of the library. So they tend to focus on their perception of what the library should be, instead of what the library actually is. And that's where a lot of frustration comes. And then you've got people that are just buying one library after another, and they're not satisfied because they've not learned, like what you're talking about, is to learn the library, learn the strengths, because everyone's different. Mm-hmm. So, and then not giving up, not giving up, but just pushing that little extra to find that treasure that's hidden there. There's something hidden there, and you've got to look for it. But I think that you've found it because we hear it in your music.
Mm. And I mean, obviously, writing something that is idiomatic for the orchestra is going to help a great deal as well. Mm. Because if you're not going to do a realistic kind of orchestration, no matter what library you have, it's never going to sound realistic.
Mm. Yes.
And yes. That's a big issue as well. You know, just you, because you can cheat in many ways. You know, you can just add sections, you can write impossible parts, forget about breathing for woodwinds and brass. These are common mistakes. You see them all the time. But, you know, like if you were to input a few bars of any John Williams music with any kind of library, I think I've done a few experiments like that on my YouTube. I mean, it sounds good even with the stock sounds that you get from Logic. Even with the Sibelius sounds, it still sounds pretty good. So that says something to me.
You're right. And actually, one of my advices is that you go to this, I think it's called Free Scores or something, and you go find anything, maybe even Mozart, Beethoven, stuff like that, and just play with it a few bars in any library, and you get pretty good results and you learn tons. So that's a great advice. I really, but I was wondering, and this is what I don't know, I think there's definitely truth that yes, you get tired with a library and then you buy a new one and then you have to spend time on learning that. So you're just wasting a lot of time and you never go deeper. I think that's the problem. You're absolutely right. But do you think that there are libraries who are more, how can I say it? Like, for example, if you put up a really good template and you're ready to go, you don't have to fiddle so much, you just write music. Do you find that there are any libraries that are easy in that regard? Or no, they're all the same?
I think BBC is pretty easy to use.
It is.
The way it was recorded, I think they only have... I think they only recorded two dynamic layers or three.
Okay.
And kind of, and that makes it so that it's easier to create blends.
Yep.
And you get this, I don't know, just people have been talking about this homogenous kind of sound that you get from BBC, which I don't think is the space or anything like that. It's just the dynamics, they tend to blend together. Mm-hmm. And in a very specific kind of way because they match, while with something that has a little, like, I don't know, a more extreme kind of range, like Cinematic Studio, for example, it's a little bit harder to use because obviously you get the real thing. Like from Cinematic Studio Brass, you get, you know, from pianissimo to fortissimo. So you can have things sticking out in an unpleasant kind of way. Maybe you don't know why that is, and it can be frustrating if you don't know what you're doing. I think.
So you're saying the dynamic layers are fighting with each other at times. If you have too many dynamic layers, you can have them actually clashing and fighting with each other.
Yeah, I'm saying that, you know, having something that is limited by two or three dynamic layers, it's a limitation. But at the same time, it's a strength as well because it kind of makes it easier to play. While having something that is a little bit more, you have more articulations, you have more dynamics, more stuff like that. It's more versatile, but it's not necessarily easier to use.
I highly agree with this because I love the Cinematic Studio series. I think they have very detailed, beautiful instruments. But I find like I work too hard on the details there because they have so many options. And it's like, oof, can be quite overwhelming, while it can be nicer with other libraries to get into writing faster. So maybe there are, you know, there are libraries that are better for sketching or writing, and then perhaps other when you're finished and you want to do the details. I don't know. Otherwise, I have to say the strings in Cinematic Studios, they sound good.
I mean, I don't have that much stuff, to be honest. I tend to use mostly BBC and Cinematic Studio and Sample Modeling Brass as well. And that's
it. You have a video about that when you explain layers with sample modeling. That was really interesting, actually.
Yes, sample modeling. But that's pretty much it. I mean, I do use some libraries, like I think I use Bernard Herrmann Composer Toolkit as well by Spitfire, but just a few instances here and there because they have some pre-recorded doublings and some common doublings and stuff like that. And I find that it adds it can add an extra layer of realism. Not really though, because if you were to mute them, it doesn't make any difference. It's just me being, you know, overly picky.
No, but I think you're right about that because there's something about tuning. That you don't always get. If you have performed groups of instruments, like I think of the one that all everybody has is Hollywood woodwinds.
I do use that.
Because that's not the same as using several, even though they're good patches, solo patches. And
I don't know. I think it has something with the overtones of the instruments, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. when they play together, kind of, I don't know. I don't know the science behind it, to be honest. But it sounds to me like it blends in a very different kind of way. Just even something as simple as doing, just pulling, you know, like a double basses and cello patch playing in two octaves apart. Mm. You know, you could do that easily just by just with any other library. But if it's been pre-recorded, it has a very, I don't know, it sounds more realistic.
Yes, I
think that's what Spitfire is doing with the Abbey Road series, those film scoring selections, because the legendary Low Strings, they have the basses and the celli playing at the same time, sampled at the same time.
Yes.
So Vibrant Reeds, same thing. You have the mm-hmm. woodwind section playing all together. So they're capturing these smaller ensembles together. So that's getting that blend. It's kind of taken care of some of that, like what we're talking about. Because like you said, there's something that's happening acoustically when you're capturing that in the same room, as opposed to playing the bass and then you go play the celli separately on two different tracks. Just something happens, you know, one of those wondrous mysteries of music and acoustics. And then it has something to do with the players listening to each other kind of doing that interplay as well. I think that's true with the BBCSO, because those guys have been playing together for years. Mm-hmm. So especially like a large string section, they have this unspoken communication that they're blending all the time. So that I think that's what makes BBCSO just really special, because you have that extra element of a group of players that have been together for so long. Mm-hmm. And you hear that, the result of it is what you hear when you're doing your scores and when you play it. There's just something about it. And I guess that's also true of why it's easy to blend those different parts together, because mm-hmm. they've been playing together for so long already. So interesting.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. I was wondering, there's a question here. I don't know if it's aimed towards Mattia, but I thought we could ask you anyway. Somebody's asking about templates. They're setting up their first template here. So what are the most common, or maybe you have some tips on how to set up a template, what to think about?
Yes. I mean, I've been working on my template for, I don't know, 5 years.
Yes. Same here.
I really like that. I think the most important part mm-hmm. is not the libraries, is not the sounds it uses, the balance. Because if you get that right, you know, it's going to be much easier to write and orchestrate later on. Mm. And just to do that, I like to input a few bars of I don't know, of Star Wars or something like mm-hmm. that, and check against the score, you know, just try to mix it and try to match, you know, the balance first, maybe then the room, depends on what kind of aesthetic I'm going after. But yeah, generally speaking, to me, because libraries can have some weird stuff, like, and some unrealistic kind of articulations. Like, for example, you could have pizzicatos that are louder than spiccato and stuff like that. So I would make sure that, you know, when you set up your template, you kind of try to do it properly and refer to a real orchestra, because that's going to improve your mock-up dramatically, I think.
That's true, definitely, and especially if you have different libraries, it's kind of nice to have a setup like BBC, because it's fairly well done, they all match fairly well, the instruments,
right, yeah.
But otherwise you have to work on that. Something I just figured out myself recently, and you guys probably know this, I'm just like, why haven't I thought of this before? I worked a lot with my templates, and I have these massive templates with all the instruments. And I started to create recently, because you can do this in Cubase, sort of performance, like, how can I explain it? Instead of adding new instruments, I've created channels that has combinations of other instruments, so I can write faster. So I have all my strings, for example, separately.
Yeah.
But now I've created also a channel which is using all the strings at the same time. so that I can create chords and mockups faster. And then if I like that, I can always fix that later. And this, I don't know why I didn't do that, but it saves a lot of time. I even have some templates where you have maybe, I don't know, winds and choir at the same time, something like that. So I'm not creating new channels. I mean, it's the same instruments. I'm just using a function. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I'm not that much into ensembles, to be honest, and pre-orchestrated things because I like to have full control. As I said before, I might just use a few of those in very specific places in the piece, but I like to have full control. You know, I have to have each separate instrument. Like, for example, I use four separate French horns because I want to have that, you know, level of control on each instrument. But I mean, it depends on what you do. If you're doing more modern kind of stuff and more, I don't know, sound designy kind of things, I guess that would work as well.
Well, the point was here, and I've noticed that, I totally agree with you, by the way, but if I have an idea and I start to write for each instrument, then I might not always get the idea out. So I've created a patch that controls all the strings so I can write out an idea quickly. And then if I think, oh, that was good, then yes, I go in and work on all the in individual instruments. It's just that. And it saved me a lot of time. But if you have written the music beforehand, obviously, then you don't have to do that.
Yeah, I'm sensing we have a very different kind of process because I don't write thing, just, you know,
Matt, take that again. We lost you there. No problem.
Yeah, I was saying that I tend to not write in my DAW. I sketch everything first, you know, write everything on the piano, and then by the time I move to the orchestration, the piece is kind of already orchestrated because it's the sketch is kind of specific. And I try not to move things around too much. You know, if I play something on a said register in the piano, I won't change it in the orchestration. If I play something on the top register, let's say for flute or something like that, something that would be suitable for flutes, I'm never going to give it to cello because that would kind of deviate from my piano sketch, from the piano version. So I don't know. I try to stay away from that line of thinking where you start inputting the whatever kind of idea you have in your DAW, because I like to have, you know, control of the melody and the harmony of the piece first of all. That's the most important part to me, by the way. It's not really the orchestration or the sounds, you know, the melody and the harmony. Whatever comes after that is just an embellishment of what is already there.
So when you're doing your piano sketches, are you working in Sibelius at the same time? Is that your workflow?
No, I tend to. I just open an empty project on Logic because I can't play very well. So I kind of need to slow everything down and basically play it bar by bar, record it, and then just import the MIDI into my template. And that's it.
Okay. Yeah. So you're sketching the idea with a piano track, and then you're going back and fleshing it out. Okay. Good. I got it. Yeah. And that's how I tend to do as well. Just because everything is just right in here. It's the orchestra is right here. And so once you lay it out, then I like what you're talking about. You know, you have assigned the registers of the keyboard to the different sections of the orchestra. And so like what you said, you're never going to take the upper register for anything down here. So everything is already kind of laid out for you as you would orchestrate it. So that's kind of cool.
Christopher says you're too modest. he likes what you're doing. But that's really interesting. I like that we're talking about this different ways of composing, because I did want to ask you that. So I understand you work more on the piano and paper or score, as I think. So could you... go ahead.
I mean, I don't have an academic kind of training. So I'm pretty terrible at reading. So I'm not I don't like to use scores and notation and stuff like that, but I do like to sketch everything on the piano beforehand because I find that, you know, by the time by the time the piece is completed, it's kind of already orchestrated, as you know, Simeon was saying. Mm-hmm. Because if you decide not to move things around and just to stick, you know, to the sketched version, all the choices are already made. Mm. And I'm already thinking about the orchestration when I'm sketching the piece as well. So it's kind of, they come together, you know. I don't think composition and orchestration are two separate art forms. It's really the same thing.
Yeah. And they really are, because you're composing and orchestrating kind of simultaneously. They kind of run parallel to each other. And it's like the next step is taking it to the score. If you had a real flesh and blood orchestra to play it. Interesting. So do you just use like the piano and Logic, or what? Yeah. What piano? So just the piano and Logic.
Yeah, just the piano and Logic. I think I use one. I don't know, one of the, what's the one that comes with Kontakt?
Like the Grandeur, like
Maverick. Yeah, one of those.
Maverick.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's it. Really, a little bit of reverb just to make me sound better. And if I have the time, I might do some time orchestrating Sibelius, but I haven't been doing that for a very long time.
It's also good to say that it is another reason why it's clever to use just the piano to write on, is that you're not, you know, running around in your head thinking about what instrument to use, because you can really get sidetracked and should I choose that bassoon or this thing, and you're just wasting a lot of time and you get nothing done. So to just limit yourself to that, and you hear probably more, I think you hear more in your mind as well what you're trying to do.
And even you know, stepping away from the piano sometimes helps, you know, because obviously when you have some facility on whatever kind of instrument, that comes with muscle memory. So that if you can step away from the piano and just work on a melody, just, I don't know, go for a walk for like 15 minutes or so.
Yeah.
That helps, I find.
I think you're absolutely right. Definitely. Walking is so, sorry interrupted you there, but I just wanted to say, I totally agree. Composers should walk more. It's really a great way to come up with stuff. Absolutely. So why London? I wanted to ask. I mean, London is great. I've lived there a long time ago, a year, but why London?
By accident, to be honest, is not something, because when I moved, I think I moved to London when I was like 20, and I was telling you about the scholarship before. But it wasn't something I decided to, I mean, I didn't know better, I guess. A friend of mine just knew about this competition, and he asked me if we wanted to try it together, but I never really thought about the consequences of the actions. So once I got the scholarship, I moved here, but it wasn't something that I decided to do, really. It's just, I didn't really think. I applied for it, and then it was something that I guess came with it, and I've been here ever since, you know.
Wow. I mean, London is lovely, but for many it might be feel it's quite tough to survive in. It depends on where you live a little bit and what you do, I guess.
It's expensive, I can tell you that. But I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on, you could do composition from anywhere in the world.
Yes, it's true.
Especially nowadays, with Zoom and everything. Mm.
You don't miss Italy then?
I do. I mean, sometimes.
Yeah, it's quite a different
place. I don't miss Italy as much as I miss my friends and my family.
Of course, that's how it is. But it's not too far away, I guess.
No, it's just a couple of hours away. It's not too bad.
It isn't. So, right. I always wanted to know, do you have any sort of, how can I put it, patterns, rituals, ways of working? Do you work in the morning? Do you take a coffee, you know? Or you don't care? You just jump in and write?
I don't know. I can be messy. Plus, I'm not like a full-time composer, so it's kind of difficult for me to make a schedule because what kind of work I get this month is going to be different, you know, next month. So it's difficult for me to plan. But I don't know. I mean, I kind of like to work in the morning. Mm-hmm. I used to pull all nighters, but it's not something that I do anymore. Mm. And yeah, whatever works, I guess, you know, whenever I'm feeling in the mood, if I'm not really feeling it, I really try not to force myself too much because I know for a fact that nothing will come from it. But it depends on what you have to do again. Like if it's just composition, if you have to create something and you're not feeling it, it's going to be difficult. But if it's something that is a little bit less creative, more technical, I don't know, like orchestration or making a score or something like that, obviously you can work anytime. Mm. But I tend to be more productive in the morning, I think. Not early morning. I hate, you know, I like sleeping. So...
You, Sammy, I know you're a morning person, or?
Oh, not well, about nine-ish or 10-ish. We tend to stay up around midnight, watch America's Funniest Home Videos before we go to bed, okay. end on something fun. But yeah. But like those all-nighter things, it's just insane. I don't know how some of those guys do that. It's like my brain would just be fried.
I have the luxury of having a family too, so. I have to get up early in the morning, no matter I want to, and I often do it just so I can have some time for myself.
Yeah.
So that's But I also realized, I just want to say that I do tend to write better in the morning for some reason, but that depends on who you are.
I mean, I'm not, I don't have like a fixed schedule or anything. I oftentimes when I wake up, you know, just watch some tutorials, something like that. And then just, you know, it very naturally leads into doing something productive, I think.
Mm. Is there anything that you're working on now? What kind of projects are you involved with now?
There is one project I'm not sure I can talk about it.
All right.
But I can tell you I'm working on a new YouTube episode thing for my orchestration series. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the final episode of the series. So I want to make it extra special. And that is going to take a lot of work. I'm getting a feeling.
Mattia, you have to tell everybody about this who doesn't know this, because this I highly recommend. What do you call this series? Because I've seen a few of them already.
It's a long title. I think it's 10 orchestration techniques you should use right now, something like that.
This everybody should watch if you haven't. I'm serious. This is so, so good. You will learn and just get inspiration, actually. And I'm blown away. You have basically tried to write similar to different composers, right? Am I correct?
No, I mean, it wasn't something I really planned, you know. It was the first couple of episodes were really an exercise. Mm. I was basically just trying to do a few orchestrations of the same theme, and I came up with like 20 of them, and then just, you know, decided to make a video about it. But then, you know, people seemed to enjoy it, so I just made it a series and kind of kept developing new episodes for the past, I don't know, like year and a half or something like that, which is crazy. Because obviously the first episodes were easy to do because were the things that I already knew. So, but the latest ones have been very, very tricky. And I've learned a lot from it. I think I've learned more than people watching them, to be honest, because it kind of forced me to figure it out, you know, and just study some scores and try to, you know, do some research and just listen to a lot of music as well, just to figure out what I want to talk about and what I want to teach, really. So yeah, that was very, you know, that was very good for me in terms of education, my personal kind of education.
Yeah, I believe it. I was so interested because I think it's an excellent exercise to do. Because as you said, this is the way how you understand things. You have to figure out these problems, how to get these textures to sound similar to what you've heard. And there's no better way to just try to do it. So
yeah,
I'm sure you'll learn.
That's the way I've learned, to write, just, basically transcribing and studying scores, really. I'm self-taught. I never had a teacher. And that was enough for me. Many times people ask me what I recommend or where I studied, stuff like that. Mm. I didn't. I just studied on my own.
Mm. And this is quite impressive. But I do think there is something about this this time now that it is possible, if we know what they want to do, to study on your own. I mean, you obviously have a musical background. You're a very skilled guitarist. But still, it is possible if to do this by, if you have a good self-discipline and there's a lot on YouTube and courses and all kinds of stuff.
Of course. That helps, Or the internet resources we get today is just crazy. You can learn anything.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
What do you think of it?
Go ahead, Simeon.
Go ahead, Simeon.
Well, I learned how to repair my washing machine, watching the YouTube videos and, change the transmission of the washing machine. So, so you can do that and you can compose music at the same time. It's incredible what's out there.
It's true. It is really true. And it makes me wonder if education in the future, especially universities, if that's going to be able to keep up or not. What do you guys think of, is it necessary to go to university to study composition? I mean, in your case, it doesn't seem like it. What do you guys think? It's a big question, I guess.
I mean, I think it's good in a way because you get to build relationships with people, real people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, for example, like most of the people I play with used to be my classmates. Mm. So that says something already. But not just that, I don't think one should go to the university just for learning stuff, because you learn from experience. You learn from just confronting yourself to other people, and you learn from other people by seeing what they like. That was the most valuable part for me, being able to kind of expand my musical horizons just by seeing what people liked and things that I didn't know most of the time. And I wouldn't be able to, that kind of education you can't get from the internet,
Right. Yes, that personal interaction, you've got it, being around other people, other musicians, that interaction is just, you can't duplicate that through a screen necessarily. You can get information, but you cannot experience things as you would in person. So I could watch the orchestra on a YouTube channel, or I could be sitting in the audience in the center section on the floor listening to it, and it's a totally different experience. It's going to change you in a different way. So I love talking about how I'm watching Star Wars on the screen above the orchestra playing the score. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like that. I could see it on YouTube, but sitting there and watching the interactions and feeling the music and seeing, and you can't replicate that. And I call it life's conservatory. The first time that I sat in the middle of an orchestra, I was playing the piano, but then you're surrounded by strings and you can't explain that. There's something that happens. And so it's important. It's important to expose yourself to as much experiences as you can in person, orchestra performances, even things that you might not necessarily like. Like opera or the ballet or whatever, but just go and experience it, because you're going to come away with something that you did not go in with. And every experience is important and it's valuable.
Mm. But even beside that kind of experience, I think, even something as simple as having a friend telling you, oh, just check this out, you know. It's just invaluable.
Yeah.
It's not something, you know, like if a friend of yours is going to tell you to just read a book, you might. It's something you might do. But that's not going to be the case just by reading like a review of Amazon, right?
Right.
It's a very good point.
It's accountability. Yeah. There's an accountability with the people that you trust and you have a relationship with, and you can have that back and forth and that accountability. The relationship that I think that strengthens who you are as a person and a musician as well.
Absolutely. Actually, do you collaborate? I don't know how you would, but do you?
Not really. Mm. I mean, I did try a few times to write with a few friends, but then that never really worked. I do, in a way now, like I do a little bit of orchestration for other people and music prep sometimes. And if you consider that collaboration, but no, I tend not to write with others.
Yeah. It could be kind of difficult, I guess. But I kind of like the ideas, for example, I don't know, somebody else come up with a main theme and I orchestrate something around that, things like that I really like. There's something about, I'm a guy who does everything on my own too much, but there's something about when somebody else has some kind of vision or idea to support that and build on that, I find that very satisfactory. I don't know why. So I wonder how you can do more collaborations like that. I think, don't you have a video when you are collaborating with somebody? I forgot which one it was.
Sorry, I lost you for a second. Oh.
I think, don't you have a video somewhere where you collaborate with a composer from America?
Yes, I do have a video with Zach Heide. Another composer, YouTuber. Mm-hmm. It's a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. We met through YouTube.
All right.
And we do talk every now and then. Actually, we were having a chat yesterday doing some kind of podcast as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was a fun experience. I think I can't remember exactly what the process was. I think I gave him a little sketch of a piece I made, and then he came back to me with some parts, like some piano parts, and then I did the orchestration, and we made a couple of videos. He's mainly talking about the harmony part and the piano arrangement, and I showed the orchestration.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah, that's really nice. So I was wondering, where can we find out more about you? You have this YouTube channel, right? Is it searching for your name, Mattia Chiappa?
Yes, yep. That should pop up, I think.
Yeah. And do you have your web page as well where you, it's yourname.com or something like that? Or?
Yes, mattiachiappa.com. I don't use it as much though. I don't use it for, it's mostly for just, you know, showing my portfolio more than anything else. Really, I never update it. But most of the stuff I do is
nice
available on YouTube. Yeah. MySpace, no.
No, but it looks professional. It's good, and you can find over there, and it has some nice pieces of music there. But I wanted to know, I don't know if you do care about showing that, but you're a great guitar player. Is there anywhere we can hear your guitar playing?
I do some stuff on Instagram every now and then. I should do more, really. People have been telling me off because I don't do Instagram enough, but yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to juggle all of the platforms.
Definitely is. There's so many. I kind of have only all the other social media because I sort of have to. I know that's a really bad excuse, but I feel like I don't have time so much to do that. But playing guitar might be a good idea, yeah, if I knew how to.
It's not as much time as, you know, wanting to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Social media stuff is really hard.
Yeah, it is. It seems like a necessary evil. Oh, you found it already. I'm going to show it there on the screen.
Yeah, I got like four posts, I think.
You got a few. Yeah, you're doing good.
I'm going to check that out. Yeah, I didn't know you had an Instagram. Okay, I'm going to check that out too. Definitely want to see it.
And you just got another follow. So I just followed you.
Oh, thank you.
There, so. Yeah, I will. As soon as I get everything organized, I'm going to do that too. All right.
I had one question. It was just like, if you, okay, so let's say you just started today. You were just kind of starting over And would you do anything differently? Would you approach the process differently, knowing what you know now? Let's just say this has just been building up and building up, and you make the decision to start today. Would you do anything differently than you would have when you first started originally?
No.
Okay.
That's a good answer.
I mean, I don't know. I kind of regret a little bit my main instrument being guitar.
Really?
Other than piano, because it wasn't something I had a say, really. I just wanted to play, and we had a guitar, so yeah, that's why I'm a guitarist, but it's not practical for me to be a guitarist. Let's put it this way. But no, I don't regret anything. I wouldn't do anything differently.
Okay. Well, good. That's great. So you've got and I think that's the confidence and the foundation that you have, and everything that you've done is built on that that confidence of experience. And I think that's what brings a lot of extra value to what you do. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you.
Just want to say, Pat Metheny, I think he plays piano better than I do. I mean, well, I'm not the greatest pianist, but he's an amazing guitarist who knows how to play the piano really well. So why not? He doesn't like show off or anything, but I he does. And on some records, if you read the fine print, you see that he's actually playing the piano parts. So
cool.
Now Lyle Mays died a few years ago, but otherwise he would lie playing, obviously. But he plays, and he's one of those, I mean, crazy talented guys. So. Of course he knows. But of course you can learn the piano if you want to more. There's not a problem. I kind of wish I knew guitar, so I guess we're always like that, you know.
We always want to play. We always want to learn the instrument that we're not playing, that we don't play. Because keyboardists want to learn the guitars, and guitarists want to play keyboards. It's interesting.
But I do want to say, Amathia, you might be, humble, but... I'm very impressed by your mock-ups. I really think you have a talent here. And it's not just that I hear that your music is very well made. I mean, when I see you create videos on how to create all these different styles because it's a good exercise for you, I mean, that's the right passion. That's the right attitude. And that's how you're going to master this. I mean, you have already, I think, but, you know.
Yeah, you guys are too nice.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if we are. I think you people should really go and check your stuff out, and I think
only the best can sit at the round table.
Exactly,
Moses round table.
But I mean, your mock-ups are good enough to be in movies, man. Seriously.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Or I mean, totally anything. It's just they're there. That's I often wonder if virtual orchestras can really. I mean, they can't replace real ones. No. But in a way, can they sort of insert a media film and stuff like that? And I always thought maybe not. But when I hear your stuff, I'm like, yep, can be. It can be done. So, excellent.
I think the process could be a little bit simpler if we didn't have to make mockups in a way. But at the same time, I don't know how I feel about it, because at the same time, it's. You get, just by making mock-up, you get to hear your music, right? Even if it's a pain to do it.
But that's a good point.
And it is a pain.
Yeah. But that's a good point. That's one of the reasons, because as we talked about, I love the real stuff. I love to hear a real orchestra or a big band. I mean, there's nothing like it. The energy of the musicians and their skill and all that given to me. But since I don't always have that access, I don't have my personal orchestra, you know, that's one of the reasons I got into this, because I can play with my orchestra here in my computer, or, you know, I can hear it at least, as you say. So, yeah.
Yes.
All right. So I think that's it for today. It was really, really nice to talk to you, Mattia, and for sharing your wisdom and some good ideas on writing and inspiration and all that. So go check out his page and his music if you haven't already. He has a great Patreon page also, where you can get a lot of good material that is really good if you want to learn even more. And I think he teaches. I don't know if you do it online, but...
yes, I do.
There you go. So he's a great resource. And so definitely worth checking it out. I think Simeon is showing all kinds of stuff there online. So that's great. So that's going to be it for today. So thank you, both of you guys, for being here. And we'll see you soon, if nothing else happens, in 2 weeks. Take lots of care, everybody.